الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. So we have in this class here a brief introduction to the issue related to المؤلف and المؤلف. المؤلف meaning the author, and المؤلف meaning the book that the class will be read from, or the studies and that we will be studying. So we begin with الترجمة, the biography. ترجمة الذهبي. ترجمة الذهبي. His name is, it's mentioned, هو الحافظ شمس الدين أبو عبد الله محمد ابن أحمد ابن عثمان ابن قايماز التركماني الأصل مولى باني تميم. And this is the nasab of the author, rahimahullah, his lineage. And they say he is al-hafidh, and he's someone who is known for his memorization of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his knowledge of hadith. His laqab is Shamsuddin. Al-laqab is a nickname. It is a name that one will be given either indicating praise or indicating blame. Here, this is one indicating praise. Laqab, Shamsuddin. And then after that, they mention his kunya. This is the methodology of the people of knowledge whenever they mention the biographies of the scholars. And his kunya is Abu Abdullah. Kunya is also similar like a nickname, but it begins with Ab or Um. Many times it will be for the oldest son. The kunya will be the name of the oldest son or the oldest child, or even from another name other than that. And even if a person did not have a child, he can still have a kunya. And the likes like this. His kunya is Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah. His name is Muhammad ibn Ahmed until the end of his nasib. You need to learn this much about him is good. Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ahmed al-Dhahabi. Al-Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala. Al-Dhahabi, this is an ascription to his trade, which is actually the trade of his father. Kana abuhu dhahabiyan, and he used to work with gold, and he used to make the gold into objects or jewelry and the likes like this. And this was his job and his profession, and he was very well with that. And so his father was known as al-Dhahabi, and the author, he was known as Ibn al-Dhahabi, the son of al-Dhahabi. So when we see here al-Dhahabi, what is being referred to here is that, and his father, his profession was that he worked with gold. He worked with gold and forming gold and shaping gold, purifying it and cleaning it and then shaping it and forming it and the likes like this and selling it. And this was his profession. And his father was known for that, and likewise he was known as Ibn al-Dhahabi, and then he became known himself for likewise al-Dhahabi. But in the origin, this is the trade of his father. This is the trade of his father, rahimahullahu ta'ala. It's mentioned that he was born in the year 673. He was born in the year 673, which in the Christian calendar is 1274. 1274, and he's 673. This is in the Islamic calendar. As for the Christian calendar, and so that one could see how long ago it was, and he's 1274. 1274. So this is how the people of knowledge, they mention, or they begin, they'll mention his nasib, the nasib of the person, meaning his lineage, his name and his lineage and the likes, and after that, his mawlid, the whenever he was born. And after that, they mention al-nash'ah. Al-Nash'ah, yani his upbringing, how he was raised. Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, he was raised in a house of knowledge, and he was raised in a house of virtue, and he was raised in a house that was religious and known for piety and righteousness ever since he was a young child. His entire family, they were righteous or known for piety. His entire family, they were known for knowledge. All of them, even from the females of his family, they were also known known for knowledge, and they were known for being steadfast upon their religion and being upon piety. Beginning with his father, as we have seen, that Dhahabi, his name is Muhammad ibn Ahmad ibn Uthman. So therefore his father is Ahmad ibn Uthman. He's known as Shihabuddin Ahmad ibn Uthman ibn Uthman, and he was born in the year 641, and he left off the profession of his own father, and he began to work in the profession of goldsmithing, and he being a goldsmith, and he would work with that, and he became very proficient in that and very well known for that until he had that laqab and that nickname of Dhahabi, and his father Ahmad ibn Uthman. And also his father, although he had his own profession, and although he was skilled in this worldly affair of goldsmithing, of being a goldsmith and the likes, also he sought knowledge, and he learned and he listened. And in these days they would still take knowledge with chain, even though the chain would be long. It was still known that the people of knowledge, they would learn the narrations with chain, and the chain was still being mentioned. And in those days, Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah, he mentions in his book many narrations of those people. He mentions in his book with chains of narrations to them and narrations that they narrated on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In any case, his father was a scholar of hadith, and he had a chain or listened to Sahih al-Bukhari entirety, and he made Hajj in the end of his life. Al-Dhahabi, he has many books. From one of his most famous books or well-known books is Mu'jam Shuyukh al-Dhahabi. He has a book, it's a good size, one volume, mentioning all of the people that he learned from, either directly or by writing, the people that he learned from, and many of the people that he would mention, and he would mention something brief about them. And all of his mashayikh, from the shuyukh and from the sheikhat, men and women, and many of them are his relatives, and he will mention them and mention about them, and from them his own father. He mentioned about his father that he made Hajj in the end of his life, and wa kana dayyinan yakumu min al-layl, that he used to be righteous, and he was a person who was religious, and he used to stand in the night prayer. And this is what Dhahabi, he knows about his father. And he mentioned that he was very good in his occupation, in being a goldsmith, until he had gained much wealth. And he was righteous with his wealth, and he was pious. And from that is that he had freed 5 slaves with his own wealth in his life. And he became known for that. And he was known for goodness and seeking knowledge and earning money with his own hand and spending on his family and giving charity for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and using his knowledge to seek knowledge and the likes like this. This is a beautiful example of a believer. That he will gather between the affairs of the dunya and the affairs of the hereafter. He will not free himself up and sit in the masjid all day long and then beg from the people, or sit in the gatherings of knowledge and beg from the people, claiming that he is going to free himself up for seeking knowledge, or free himself up for worship and the likes like that. But rather, a believer, he will earn money and he will gain wealth that is halal and that is legal, and at the same time he will use that for his hereafter. He will use that for his hereafter. So although his father was a well-known goldsmith, he used that in the pleasure of Allah, and he still was from those who would seek knowledge and learn. And this is the way of a believer, that he will earn wealth and he will spend it in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will not rely upon the people. So we summarize that Dhahabi, he mentioned that he was known for this affair, rahimahullah ta'ala, and that he died, his father died in the year 697. Dhahabi, he was born in 673, his father died in 697. So how old was he when his father died? 24 approximately, 697 his father died, he was born in 24, so he was 24 years old. He mentioned, rahimahullah, that in those days in his land, in Dimashq, the one who led the prayer on his father was Ibn Jama'ah. He's from the well-known scholars, and he has many works that we still benefit from today, from the likes of them, Tathkirat al-Sami' wal-Mutakallim fi Adab al-Alim wal-Muta'allim, a great work about the manners of the student of knowledge and the manners of the scholar and the seeker of knowledge. This man, he also has work in Mustalah Hadith and Minhal al-Rawi. This is the one who prayed and led the prayer on his father. He mentioned Rahimahullah Ta'ala. So his father, he was righteous, and his father was a person of knowledge. And likewise, his aunt from his father's side, and his Amma, she was the one who breastfed him. And likewise, his aunt from his father's side, her name was Sitt al-Ahl bintu Uthman. Her name was Al-Haja, Umm Muhammad. And she received ijazat, and she had yani ijazat in seeking knowledge, and she narrated with chain herself. And likewise, Al-Dhahabi, he learned from her and benefited from her. And this was his aunt. And likewise, his uncle from his mother's side, his name is Ali bin Sinjar al-Mawsidi. Yani he also was from the students of knowledge, from the people of knowledge, and even he traveled with him. Yani Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, he traveled with him to Ba'dabek and to other lands to learn. He mentioned about his uncle, he said, كَانَ ذَا مُرُؤَةٍ وَكَدٍ عَلَىٰ إِيَادِهِ وَخَوْفٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ. That his uncle and his khal, Iskhal meaning his uncle from his mother's side, his mother's brother, he said he was a person of manhood and nobility and honor, and well-mannered. And he also used to have great diligence and care for taking care of his family. And he was somebody who feared Allah. He was somebody who feared Allah. And he mentioned other affairs about him in a chain of narration. Yani to his uncle and then to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also from his family, this is the family of Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah. The husband of his aunt, of his khala, the husband of his aunt, his khala, her name is Fatima, yani the sister of his mother. The sister of his mother, her husband, his name was Ahmad ibn Abdul Ghani. And he mentioned about him, كَانَ حَافِظًا لِلْقُرْآنِ كَثِيرُ التِّلَاوَةِ. That this person, he was someone who memorized the whole Qur'an. And the husband of his aunt, and he used to recite the Quran a lot, and he was known for that. And likewise, he mentioned a chain of narration to his to the husband of his aunt, all the way to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This particular narration is found in Yani Ibn Majah, and just to show the concern that they have that they had with knowledge. And even he had a brother likewise that was his brother from breastfeeding, that was over 8 years older than him, and he was known as Ibn Attar, rahimahullah ta'ala, likewise was a great scholar of hadith and known for narration and the likes. These are all from his family and from his household. So therefore, Dhahabi, he grew up in a life in a household of knowledge. And if a person, he found this blessing from Allah and himself, he has a household that is concerned with knowledge, he should show thanks to Allah, and that's a favor. And many people, they do not have that blessing. Many people do not have the blessing to have a household of Muslims, nevertheless a household of knowledge and piety. So those who have that blessing, they have parents and they have uncles and aunts that are busy with knowledge and busy with benefiting themselves and the ummah and the likes like this, they should take advantage from them and benefit. We see that Al-Dhahabi, he narrated on all of them, and he learned from all of them, his aunts and his uncles, his father. And he was busy with this affair. He benefited from them first and foremost before even his mashayikh. It's mentioned here about any seeking knowledge. And Dhahabi, whenever he was seeking knowledge, that he used to, whenever he was very young, he learned how to read and to write in the maktab. And he was learning the Quran at a very young age. And it's mentioned that he used to learn the Quran. And before he was 7 or 8 or 9, he was learning and memorizing the Quran on one of his mashayikh. His name is Mas'ud ibn Abdullahi al-Azazi. And this individual, he was mentioned about him. He said about his shaykh, لَقَانَنِي جَمِيعَ الْقُرْآنِ ثُمَّ جَرَّتُ عَلَيْهِ نَحْوَ مِنْ 40 خَتْمَةٍ. He said that he taught me the whole Quran, and then after that I recited to him over 40 times, and 40 completions of the Quran. And that he taught me the whole Quran. And then after that, I recited to him alone over 40 complete any recitations of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is the time whenever he's very young, before 7, 9, and 7, 8, 9, 10, and the likes like this. And he mentioned about his Shaykh, and he kana kathir, kana khayran, mutawadi'an, laqana khalqan, wa kana imama masjidin bishagur. And he, this particular Shaykh, from the first of his mashaykh, he was a very noble person and humble, and he taught many people the Quran, and he was an imam of a masjid in Shagur. He was imam of a masjid in Shagur. And this particular Shaykh, he died in the year 720. So whenever al-Dhahabi, he reached the age of 18, he began really being serious about seeking knowledge. So he was already seeking knowledge as a young child. And his family, they had concern for him and care for him, and he was learning the Quran from a very young age. But whenever he reached the age of 18, he began seeking knowledge very seriously. And he gave great care and concern to learning two aspects of knowledge particularly. The first one was al-qira'at, the different modes of recitation. And the other aspect that he was very diligent with regards to, which he's well known for, is al-hadith, or rijal al-hadith, and with hadith, and the people of hadith, and the men and the narrators. So whenever he was 18, and he began learning the different qira'at until he had ijazah and all seven recitations. And he from more than one sheikh, and he would learn, and he was learning from one man, and one of his mashaykh, he would learn from him, and he got all the way, and he had learned the whole Quran from him in all of the modes, but then he was reciting to him, and to get the ijazah from him, and his sheikh died. His sheikh became sick, and he died, and he mentioned that he only made it to Surah Al-Qasas, so he was only partially finished with the ijazah of this affair, and at the same time, he found another scholar that he's learning from, and he finished upon him the entire recitation in all seven modes until he completed the Quran in all seven modes, and he had an ijazah in the safir, and he had an ijazah for more than one scholar with regards to the Quran. So he was very well versed with the different modes of recitation and the different masail and the issues with regards to the recitation of the Quran, and he was a teacher of the Quran specifically. But at the same time, he was also learning hadith, and he had, at the age of 18, until he became proficient in the sciences of hadith, and this is what he's well known for. Many people do not know or think of al-Dhahabi to be a scholar of qira'at, but this is the case about him, that he was a scholar of al-Qur'an wal hadith. Al-Qur'an wal hadith. Al-Dhahabi, he was known for his knowledge of hadith particularly, and of the men of hadith particularly. And he was a scholar of qira'ah, they call him al-muqri', and he was a scholar of hadith, they call him muhaddith, and he was also a scholar of jarh wa ta'dil, they call him al-naqid, yani the one who is criticizing the narrations and the narrators. He had great knowledge of the narrators and memorization of the narrators and their names, and he also was a scholar and learned and recited to the scholars the books of nahu and the books of poetry, any of the previous Arab and the likes like this. He had well-grounded knowledge in many sciences and ijazat and all of these affairs, and he was very diligent. And from the time he was 18, he went head first into knowledge and devoted himself to all of the aspects of knowledge and learning until he became proficient in many of these affairs. In many of these affairs, He was trying to travel to seek knowledge, but he was prohibited in a young age. He was prohibited in a young age, and he mentioned about a number of the scholars in his era. Some of them had high chains of narration, and he was hoping to meet them. And the only thing that stopped him from meeting them is that his mother did not want him to travel. Is that his mother did not want him to travel, and likewise his father prohibited him. And he mentioned and more than one sheikh that he narrated from, that he had hoped dearly to go meet this particular scholar, and the only thing that prohibited him was his father, because he would not allow me. He would not allow me to go. And he would mention another sheikh, and he would say similar like that, that I was really hoping to go. I even had intended to go, and then I stopped because of the position of my mother, and she did not want me to travel. So we see that his parents did not allow him at a young age to travel to seek knowledge. And he obeyed them in that. And then after that, we see what happened to him. The blessing that he had by being obedient to his parents. And he didn't travel. He didn't travel from Dimash. Rather, he stayed in his land. And he sought knowledge from his land. So what he did, instead of traveling to those scholars, is he wrote to them. And they wrote to him. And he still got ijazat from them. And they would write to him narrations and give him permission to narrate on them. So he was not able to meet them at that time. But he would write them to them and communicate with them. Yani, but the point is that although he was dedicated to knowledge and he was diligent with that affair, he did not disobey his parents. He did not disobey his parents. And so this is from the clarification likewise of the application of that knowledge. The application of that knowledge. The people of knowledge, they mentioned this affair that before a student he travels from his land to seek knowledge, that he will get the permission of his parents. He'll get the permission of his parents and that they will agree with him in that affair before he leaves them and before he travels. So his father prohibited him from traveling until he got a little bit older. It's mentioned approximately whenever he was around the age of 20 that his father traveled with him in some of the travels, that his father went with him and they both traveled together to seek knowledge. And other travels around the area of Sham, not going too far, he would allow him to travel with people that he knew and that he trusted, and he would travel with some of his family members and the likes around the areas into the different towns of Shem, and for like about 4 months travels, not long, and he would come back. Even one time his father traveled with him and sought knowledge with him, and his brother from his uncle traveled with him, and likewise his brother from nursing traveled with him on travels. And after his father died, he traveled to many lands, and he traveled to Egypt, and he traveled to Hijaz. He traveled many lands after his father died, rahimahullahu ta'ala. That was whenever he was about 24 years old, So after that, he began traveling until he met many scholars in Egypt. He went to Egypt and all over Egypt, and this was one of the greatest travels that he had, and likewise all over Shem and all over Hijaz. And he went for Hajj, and he met the scholars in Mecca and the scholars in Medina, and the scholars, whenever he was in Hajj, he said he learned in Mina and he learned in Arafah. And so he's making the rites of Hajj, but at the same time he's seeking knowledge. And that's what one will do if he goes to Hajj. If he's in Mina, he will not just sit in Mina on those days resting and eating and laughing and the likes like this, but rather he will go and search and find the tents in our days now where the people of knowledge are. If you search, you will find a tent with Sheikh Fawzan. You will find a tent with Sheikh Abdul Muhsin and the likes like that, and they'll be giving classes there. So a believer, he will go to Hajj and he will take advantage of meeting the scholars. And this is what he was doing. And in Mina, he was meeting the scholars and learning from them. And likewise in Arafat, he was meeting the scholars and learning from them. And this is from the diligence of learning. And many of the people of knowledge, they used to do this. They would make Hajj with the intention of making Hajj and meeting the people of knowledge. And this is a great opportunity, a great gathering, yani, in the days of Hajj, yani, to meet the people of knowledge who come to make Hajj in that year and to benefit from them. So this is something that Al-Dhahabi, he mentioned about himself, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he reached a level of memorization that was amazing, until the extent what is mentioned about him, Ibn Hajar, he mentioned about al-Dhahabi. He said, "Sharibtu ma al-Zamzam li asila ila martabati he fil hifz." He said, "I drank Zamzam." Ibn Hajar, he mentioned, "I drank the water of Zamzam, making du'a that I will reach the level of al-Dhahabi in memorization." So this man, he's known for his memorization to the extent that one of the greatest scholars of hadith, he's drinking Zamzam hoping that Allah would allow him to reach that level. Suyuti mentioned about him, Ibn Hajar, he reached that level and went past that. he reached the level of Dhahabi and he went past that. And this is known that there are many biographies you will find where the scholars, they are mentioning the affair of Zamzam and knowledge. The affair of Zamzam and knowledge or teaching and the likes like this. Even it's mentioned in the biography of Khatib al-Baghdadi that he drank Zamzams for three different affairs. One of them was so that he could teach in this major masjid that he was prohibited to teach in. And then whenever he got back from Hajj, the one who traveled with him happened to be an emir and got up and made it easy for him to teach there. Any meaning that his supplication was answered. And he makes supplication for this, so they can teach in this masjid and any of the people. And Khatib al-Baghdadi also is mentioned about Ibn al-Arabi and Maliki. He died in the year 543. He mentioned about him that he went to Hajj and he drank Zamzam for knowledge and for faith, for ilm and iman. And he said he spent a number of days making Hajj in Mecca when he's making Hajj. And he's drinking Zamzam left and right. And he said, but I'm drinking it so that I can have knowledge and sincere faith. And then he's recollecting this affair as he narrates this, and he says, I wish only if I had made supplication and drank the Zamzam for knowledge, faith, and application. He said, because I've seen in my life that I had obtained a lot of knowledge, but I found deficiency in my application. If only I had made supplication for application likewise. And he had an indication that a person, he will seek knowledge and application. He will ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to increase him in knowledge and the application of that knowledge. And the application of that knowledge. Dhahabi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he died in the year 748. It's mentioned that in the end of his life, he started to become blind until he went entirely blind. He started to become blind, and then for about 4 years he was in this state, and then finally he became entirely blind in Dhul-Qa'dah in the year 748. He died, rahimahullahu ta'ala. From the amazing affairs about Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, is that and one of his works is called Al-Mu'jam al-Mukhtas, the specific book about the narrators of hadith. He mentioned his own biography in this particular work. He gave his own biography. He says Al-Dhahabi al-Musannif, and Al-Dhahabi, yani in the harf dhal, you go to Al-Dhahabi. He said, yani the author of this work, his name is Muhammad ibn Ahmed. He mentioned the same lineage. He said al-Dimashqi al-Shafi'i al-Muqri al-Muhaddith. He's the one who narrated this work. He said he was born in the year 736, and then he mentioned about different ijazat that he said that he had, and that he had been given, and qualifications that he had from Quran and from Hadith. He said he mentioned that he gathered jama'a tawarif yuqaru mufida wal jama'a yatafaddaluna wa yuthnuna alayhi wa huwa akhbaru bi nafsihi wa bi naqsihi fi al-'ilmi wal 'amal wallahu al-musta'an wa la quwwata illa bihi wa idha salima li imani fa ya fawzi. And this is how he ended, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned that this man Al-Dhahabi, speaking about himself, he gathered and wrote many authored works, and it's said about them they're beneficial, and some people they're kind, and they say good things about him and praising him, but he knows better about himself and his deficiency in knowledge and application, and Allah's aid is sought, and there's no strength or power except with him. He said, if my iman can just be safe, then how successful I will be. Yani the sarima li imani faya fawzi. Yani meaning that, yani, never mind what the people say about me, I know better about myself and my deficiency in knowledge and application. If my faith can just be safe, then I will be happy and I will be successful. And so a believer, he will be concerned about his faith. He had many, many, many teachers, many mashayikh. From the best of them, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. From the best of the teachers of al-Dhahabi, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Ahmed ibn Abdul Harim ibn Abdul Salam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, he died in the year 728. Also from the great teachers of al-Dhahabi, al-Mizzi, his Jamal al-Din, Abu al-Hajjaj, Yusuf ibn Abdul Rahman al-Mizzi, Shafi. Al-Mizzi, he is a great scholar of hadith. He has a work called Tahdhib al-Kamal, one of the most relied upon books of narrators with regards to the narrators of the Kutub al-Sitta and the works of the Kutub al-Sitta. It's a 36-volume work. It's very large. And this was one of his greatest teachers, al-Mizzi. He died in the year 742. Rahimahullah ta'ala. And he had other mashaykh likewise. These are from the best of them. From the best of his students, Ibn Kathir. Ibn Kathir was from his students, Rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam al-Din, Abu al-Fida, Ismail ibn Umar, Ibn Kathir, yani sahib al-Tafsir, the one who has Tafsir ibn Kathir. He died in the year 774. He was one of the students of al-Dhahabi. And likewise, Zain al-Din Abu al-Faraj Abdul Rahman ibn Shihab al-Din al-Baghdadi, Yani ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Rajab likewise was the student of al-Dhahabi, was from the students of al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala. Ibn Kathir in his work, al-Bidayah wa Nihaya, he mentioned, the way Ibn Kathir, he authored this work, he'll mention the year, this year, and then he'll, and this year, this and this happened, and this and this happened, and this and this happened. Whenever he got to the year 748, he mentioned the events that occurred, and he said, وَفِي لَيْلَةِ الْإِثْنَيْنِ ثَارِثْ شَهْرِ ذِي الْقَعْدَ تُوُفِيَ الشَّيْخُ الْحَافِظُ الْكَبِيرُ مورخ الإسلام شيخ المحدثين شمس الدين أبو عبد الله محمد ابن عثمان الذهبي بتربة أم الصالح وصل وصلي عليه يوم الاثنين صلاة الظهر في جامع دمشق ودفن ببابه الصغير وقد ختم به شيوخ الحديث وحفاظه رحمه الله. He mentioned that on the night of اثنين, on the second of the القاعدة, that the Shaykh and the Hafiz And the Mu'arrikh is the historian of al-Islam, and the Shaykh of the scholars of Hadith, Shamsuddin Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Uthman al-Dhahabi. He died, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Turbati Salih. This was a school and a place they used to study and teach and learn. And he mentioned that they prayed on him on that day, on Monday, Yom al-Ithnain, Salat al-Dhuhr, in the great masjid in Dimashq, and he was buried there, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he mentioned great praises about him. It's mentioned later, and the very next week, Ibn Kathir, he replaced him. The very next week, Ibn Kathir, he came in place of al-Dhahabi, and he taught a lesson in that same madrasa. And he mentioned that a number of people, they attended, and the fuqaha, they attended, and it was a great, great gathering. He said, I replaced the Shamsuddin al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala. And from the narrations, he said, I narrated on that day, innama, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, innama nasmatul mu'min ta'irun ya'luku fi shajar al-jannah hatta yurji'ahu allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala ila jasadihi yawm al-qiyamah. And this is authentic narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this is what I mentioned in that gathering, in place of a dhahabi. He said that verily the soul of a believer is nothing but a bird that is eating from the trees of paradise until Allah returns it to his body on the day of resurrection. The soul of a believer is a bird, and eating from the trees of paradise until Allah returns it back to his body on the day of resurrection. So this is with regards to the author, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was known for his knowledge and for his diligence in that affair. As for the work, Sir A'lam al-Nubala, the Mu'allaf, this is the book that we study, Sir A'lam al-Nubala. Sir is the plural of Sirah. The word Sirah, it means tariqah. Tariqah, the way, somebody's way. Likewise, sirah means sunnah. As-sirah means sunnah. So somebody's way and his sunnah, this is called sirah. This is called sirah. But here what is intended is his biography and his life, that which he was upon, whenever he was alive. So this is the biographies of the A'lam. The A'lam is the plural of alam. Al-Alam has many meanings, and we summarize now. The meaning intended here, is from the well-known scholars. It's from the well-known people that somebody is considered Al-Alam, meaning he's well-known. So here, well-known for his knowledge. And the likes like this, An-Nubala, Sir Alam, An-Nubala. An-Nubala is the plural of An-Nabil. An-Nabil is Al-Sharif, Al-Fadil, the one who has nobility, and the one who has honor, and the one who has respect. So this is a collection of the biographies and the lives of the upright and the noble scholars, and the well-known and the well-known scholars. And the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the people in this work by tabaqat. yani in categories, and we will study inshallah some affairs about the tabaqat and what this is. But he mentioned he will mention them yani in categories according to the time that they lived, and likewise those whom they learned from. Yani, so it will be mentioned in this manner. He mentioned approximately 40 tabaqat or less than that in this book. Yani, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he will mention in there the name of the individual and whenever he was born and whenever he died, and he will mention his lineage, and he will mention events that occurred in his life, and what was said about him, and what the people of knowledge mentioned about him, and he will mention about his family, if he had family that were from the people of knowledge likewise, and he will mention from his statements and the likes like this, and he will mention narrations with regards to that. And many times he will comment himself, rahimahullah ta'ala, with commentary that is very, very beneficial. And with that, we close and we continue in our next class, inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow after Maghrib. Tomorrow after Maghrib and after Isha. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.
There were a couple of questions that we clarify inshallah, and one of them was about the death of Al-Dhahabi rahimahullah ta'ala, and it's mentioned in his biography that he was teaching in a place called Turbatu Umm As-Salih, Turbatu Umm As-Salih, and he died there and he was buried in that area. So this place here, Turbatu Umm As-Salih, this was a madrasa, al-madrasa, and it was a waqf. A waqf is an endowment, a place that somebody or something that somebody has set for the sake of Allah. It can only be used for that which the person bestowed it and placed it as a waqf, and it to be used. So this was from the noble people, and he had this land, and he left this land and this school in Dimashq, in Damascus, as a waqf, and it was a madrasa, and it was called Madrasatu Turbat Umm As-Salih. And there, in this area, in this land, in this school, there was a school for the recitation of the Quran. There was two schools there, one of them specifically for qira'at and for teaching the different modes of recitation of the Quran. And there was another school there likewise on the same premises, and that was for al-Hadith al-Sharif. And also in the same waqf, there was a graveyard and the likes like this. So it came that that Al-Dhahabi, he died there, and then he was buried there. Not meaning buried in the school, and he buried in the area, in the graveyard there. Not meaning buried in the school. And someone maybe misunderstood that, or possibly I didn't clarify properly in the summarization of that. And Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was buried in the nearby graveyard there, in the nearby graveyard there. So this school was called, it was from the Madaris al-Shafi'iyyah, from the schools where the scholars of the al-Shafi'i madhab in Damascus, they would study, and there are a number of schools there, and it was near another school that was very famous likewise in those days. It's called Madrasa al-Ashrafiyyah, and it's in the same place. This was the clarification of that issue.